Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Down the block, Andrew Johns. Inside for Elba. Elba will score. Elba will score. Newcastle has won the grand final.
He's got the ball. Jared Hayes.
What a goal.
Superstar, superhuman. Call him what you like. The speed of a bullet. He hits it. He's got it.
G'day guys, this was part one of my feature on the weekly rubdown this week. You've heard all the other bits, this is part one. It's a good little hour stint, and I just wanted to point out, I haven't listened back to it myself yet, but obviously we recorded this at the back end of last week, so all the trials that happened last night and are happening today on Sunday, there's a lot of injuries that have happened. I mean, Harry Grant's been injured, Wade Egan's been injured, there's a lot of movement, a lot of guys that have revealed new positions they're going to be playing and whatnot during these trials, so keep that in mind. I think most of the information is still very relevant, especially for draft day, but just keep that in mind. If there is anything that you know makes sense now, maybe something has changed in the last 48 hours or so. Enjoy it, guys. This is my feature on the Weekly Rubdown, a podcast that if you're a draft person, I highly advise you get around. Natty and Walker, they are absolutely dominating the draft space for me. They are doing fantastic things, good banter, and the best information in the game. Let's kick it off.
Yeah, g'day everybody. Welcome back to the Weekly Rubdown, a podcast where we rub down everything NRL Supercoach Draft. You're listening to the Draft Day Rub. I'm your host, Natty, and with me as always, riding shotgun the rub is my hype man, Wooker. And tonight, squirting some of that lavender-scented oil on his mitts, the content slut himself, the rugby league guru. What's going on, mate?
Mate, I don't mind that one. I've been called much worse. What's doing, boys? It has been a while.
How good. Look, let's just stop there. Just rip in. Let's crack them if you got them, mate, boys.
Fuck, I've been looking forward to this one.
What are we drinking?
I've got some of Keith Urban's finest over here.
Ooh, okay, nice. Urban's on the burbs.
Love it.
What about you?
Capital, Rockhopper. Fucking good.
Not on the Vinos?
I had a couple of Vinos before the pod, okay. So I'm
on the
quite
on the codeines? On the crushed up codeines?
Mate, snorting those like nothing else. No. Tapering off.
Tapering off the codeines. How good. Oh, God. All right, Guru. What's going on, mate? How's everything going? Give the podcast, the page, a plug. Tell us what's coming up. Do what you want, mate. The floor's yours.
Mate, all been going really well. I've recently moved house. We got an extra bedroom in the place we're in, so I've decked it out to a little studio man cave, which has been sensational. I think my girlfriend's ready to put my face on the side of milk cartons. I've just been MIA for the last few weeks, smashing out content, enjoying the podcast, nailing out shit on Instagram. I'll tell you what, for a while there, I felt like I was working hard on Instagram. Seeing you boys lately, you have been absolutely flying.
That one is all Natty.
Look,
absolutely killing the content.
You know what you said to me last year, Guru, you said, like, I'm going to take 1 year, I'm going to put everything into it. If it works, fantastic. I'll ride the momentum, I'll do something with it. If it doesn't, hey, I gave it a really red hot go. And that's what we're doing this year. We're really going to try and fucking just rape everything. Rape social media, rape podcasts, do everything we can to get our name out there. And if it works and, you know, people love us and the podcast and the page, you know, gains followers, momentum, all that good shit, then you know, who knows? The sky's the limit, I guess. But we're definitely just trying to do what you're doing, mate.
No, mate, I think there's huge potential for you guys. I think you've already grabbed the draft space. I know we've been talking about this recently. It's almost like you've got a bloody cult following over there.
We definitely do attract a certain type of person.
It's definitely a type.
You walk into the pub, you can see the table. You know who they are 100%. Yes.
Exactly.
Usually it's the blokes staring at some ponies running down a racetrack. They're the type of blokes that we attract. They're some fucking degenerates. We made this listener league through that competition, and mate, we've picked right, because the blokes in there, it's a cesspit. It really is.
It's loose,
mate. If they're not watching ponies, they are rubbing Five Dragon in the corner, fucking telling it sweet nothings. Yeah. They are a special breed.
That's it. That's them, mate. That's them. Mate, well, cheers for coming on. As we always say, rubbing one out is more enjoyable and it's easier with an extra pair of hands. Now, today we're going to just go through draft day as a whole. We're going to look at some guys that we're big on. We're going to be talking about some strategy. We're going to talk about draft day as a whole, what we do on draft day. It's just a bit of a holistic view of the day itself. You like that word, boys? Holistic?
I was about to say, that's... Have you got like a thesaurus next to you or something?
I'm a few deep too. I think I get smarter after about four beers.
You don't get funnier, I'll tell you that much.
Look, now I know you're lying through your fucking teeth, Guru. Right, let's get into the draft lookers, boys. So, Guru, just to run you down what we're going to do here, Walker and I will go through each position and we're going to give out our looker. A draft looker is... not your gun, not your obvious pick. It's a value pick. A guy that we reckon you can get late. A guy that we think is going to beat their average from 2020. A guy that presents a lot of value. So I'll make Walker go first. So if he starts fucking meandering on and drifting off into some sort of mind-numbing... Yeah, I can just go, that's enough, mate. And then I'll go. And then, Guru, you can either agree with us, talk about the guys we talked about, or add in another guy as well.
Too easy, boys.
All right. Hooker, let's go, mate.
So, hooker first. I've gone McCulloch just because, look, he had a couple of games off the bench last season, drove down his average a little bit. He's never going to set the world on fire with, like a lot of attacking stats. But, yeah, he'll go in probably round 10-plus in most leagues. And I think, yeah, you could get some decent value for him, like round 9, round 8. And, yeah, I don't think he's going to be awesome, but, yeah. I think he's definitely one to look at.
So what's your thoughts on the minutes he's going to get, Walker? Do you think that he's going to be the standalone hooker there, or do you think they'll carry Billy Britton on the bench?
That's why it's a bit of he relies on minutes. He'll still get you 50-odd playing 60. And I think if they do carry Britton on the bench, then that's where he kind of sits. Look, to be honest, it's not like a sexy pick. But, yeah, it's just he's going to slip in a lot of drafts.
So you pretty much – you want to draft him on that 60 minutes and, you know, that sort of 55 average. And then if he gets 80, it's just a little cherry on top, like a little finisher. You've obviously won the lotto there, and he's going to start pushing for that 60 average.
Yeah. Over the years, he's shown he does have a bit of, like, a bit of attacking stats in him. But, yeah, it's definitely not something that I'm drafting for.
Guru, thoughts on McCulloch?
Mate, I'm a fan of Andrew McCulloch. I raved about him when he arrived at Newcastle last year. He did really well. That injury obviously took him out of the game. It's been a whirlwind for a few months for him. I mean, going back to Brisbane after getting kicked out, arriving at the Dragons. I think he will play 80 minutes. I really like Billy Britton. I'm not sure if Billy Britton will be in that side. He'd be in my team, but I'm not sure if he will be in theirs. Look, I think Andrew McCulloch, I'm just having a look at his numbers now. I mean, when he does play 80 minutes, I mean, there was four games last year out of, I think, seven when he played 80 minutes that he scored above 60 base stats. I mean, that is elite sort of standard there.
Yeah, and I guess the real thing to understand is, like, he's worked with Hook before, and Hook's brought him back, back under the fold because... That's the type of hooker that he wants. I still don't understand why they pushed McInnes out, but it's obvious that this is a decision driven by Hook. And look, I think he is going to be playing a pretty big minutes, if not 80, like you said.
I think that's a really good point with Hooker. I think he's definitely going to play favourites with a lot of these guys. It's like a fucking reunion of the 2013 Broncos, isn't it? It's unreal.
Have a go at that spine. Like, three out of the four in the spine have played under him, like, together.
It's unreal. I think it's a major advantage for Andrew McCulloch, for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, McCulloch's obviously lost that sort of that spark in a name, like, where people go, right, yeah, I'm keen on McCulloch. So that definitely presents some value in drafts. Even though we're talking about him potentially playing 80 minutes, I just don't think a lot of people are going to be looking at him. So definite value there. I don't mind him in that 10-plus range. So good one, Wooker. My guy's Lachie Lamb. And I don't – it's not so much as looking at the stats and getting a good feel about how he played last year. It just – my draft senses are tingling. I don't know if it's my draft senses or if it's that rash that just won't go away, but I just feel like he's in for a big year. Whether that's because, you know, I'm thinking about Flano went when he came into that system. You know, Flano came in and they just surrounded him with weapons and he didn't have to do much for his super coach output to be outstanding, right? Mm. I just think with that solid base that he's got, you're looking at a 30-35 base that you're going to get out of a 5'8", which is fucking incredible. You know, now you're talking about the Munster and Dylan Brown types. And then if he just does something in attack, you know, you're going to start creeping over that 50 average mark. And I just think where you're going to draft him, we're looking sort of 8-9. Dual eligibility as well. He's covering 5'8 and hooker. It's just fucking golden, a guy like this. And if I'm right and if it works and he starts really playing well in attack, you've won the lotto. You really have.
I don't know about taking him 8 or 9, but yeah, I'm definitely on board with him because, look, the average that he's pre-draft listed at, played majority of his games off the bench, so he wasn't even playing 4 minutes. So he's heavily undervalued by just the just that. The one thing to temper what you were saying, though, a lot of the stuff that Flanell was doing, he was banking a lot of points off his goal kicking. And I just don't see that coming from Lamb. From all accounts, it's definitely going to be TKO. But, yeah, I like the pick. Maybe not as early as 8 or 9. What do you reckon?
Who takes the goal kicking when TKO is not in the field? Like,
tell you, apparently.
I'm not seeing TKO playing more than 60 minutes.
Oh, no way.
So who kicks goals when he's off the field?
You'd have to think Teddy, wouldn't you? Teddy.
It can't be Teddy. We're not ready for that. The Supercoach world is not ready for that.
What about Keary? Is he a bit of a kicker? Has he thrown a few over?
I don't know. I literally, Teddy's the only guy I've seen slot him.
Mate, Lamb has kicked goals. He has kicked goals previously in New South Wales Cup and whatnot. I wouldn't call him a goal kicker per se. I also wouldn't call Teddy one, but for me, I think they entered last year with Kyle Flanagan. You know, we all remember he was the future. He's the guy we're going to build around. It's 12 months later and, you know, he's never to be heard of at the Sydney Roosters again. I just think throwing goal kicking onto Lamb's plate as well, I mean, I just think it's a little bit too much. I think they'll give it to Teddy. I always think as a young footballer, that time after they score a try, like after you score points, that next set is so important. I would be giving my young halfback all the time in the world to just get himself prepared and ready to go in that next set. I wouldn't be throwing goal kicking on his plate, to be honest with you.
Jesus, yeah, especially boys. When it's not something that he's done previously, to a high level.
We're talking about Teddy goal kicking here now.
What about Joey Manu?
Let's just dive down that avenue for a second. Teddy is obviously a clear number one, no matter what. You throw in goal kicking there. Now we're talking about you have to be picking one. Like, you know how we talk about, okay, snake draft, 10-man league, 4, 5, 6 is where you go. If Teddy is goal-kicking, you want to be first pick every fucking day of the week.
Mate, Teddy goes from pick one to pick zero just quietly.
Seriously, like, this could be absolutely anything. This could almost ruin Supercoach as a game. You've got Teddy, you're just unbeatable, especially if you're playing captains. Mm. I mean, like I said, I don't think we're ready for it. It's going to be interesting if he's kicking goals, that's for sure. And for you to say that, Guru, that, yeah, like Lamb has slotted him, I don't know. It's definitely one to watch. We might get a look at it this weekend in trials. But Lamb's the type of guy, I'm not taking him as my first hooker or my first 5'8", right? If he gets, if it's round 10, if he's there, I'll reach for him and put him on my bench before I filled my 13. I think he's a perfect handcuff option in those two positions lacking in depth. And I know some people go, oh, what, you're picking your bench before you've picked your 13? After round 10, I'm picking big picks anyway, so it doesn't fucking matter. I'm picking front rowers. Who cares?
He'll get you more value than your last two center wings.
Big time, 100%. So that's something to think of as well there for strategy guys. If you're coming into sort of round 10, round 11, and there's guys there that you see value in, but you've already picked them, you've already filled those positions, whack them on your bench.
I'll tell you who he reminds me of looking at these numbers. A couple of years ago, they were in a similar situation. New seven coming in. There was a young guy that played the year before, of course, Jackson Hastings. And I took him that year, sort of half expecting, we'll just see what happens here. And he was a guy that put up 20, 30 base stats a week. He laid on a try here and there because he was in the Roosters system, and he turned out to be a really solid option. I wouldn't be shocked in the slightest if Lachlan Lamb does end up being a 40, 45-point player.
They just give him an opportunity where they don't just get the shits with like either defensive frailties or something like that. Like,
well, you're not going to get that with Lamb.
No.
He's a superb defender. He's played in the middle a lot of his career. He knows how to cut him down. They won't get that with him. That's where your base stats are going to come from, because he's going to move up and defend really well. He's going to be like a Dylan Brown type where he just cuts him in half and he makes, you know, 19, 20 tackles a game.
Excited to see how he goes in the trials.
Yeah, definitely one to watch. All right, let's move on to the big pigs. And I think we're all on the same page here. We're not big on them. We don't give a fuck. We'll probably draft them rounds 12 and 13. But let's talk about them anyway. Wooker, what do you got?
So I've gone with Christian Welch. When he was on form at the back end of the season, when he came back from injury, look, he smashed out probably, I think it was a 58 average. So he's coming into this season with an overall average of 51. So he's definitely undervalued. And look, I just think that team is going to be setting a huge platform. And look, it's Munster's team. And I think one of the beneficiaries of that is going to be Welch.
The White Rhino. I love everything about this bloke. Guru, thoughts?
Mate, I think Christian Welch is the guy that no one's talking about, but I think everyone's low-key aware of his abilities here. I think everyone knows that he's got potential to be the top front rower in Supercoach, and I think this will be one that everyone will have in their back pocket, and everybody will be expecting themselves to be the only one looking at Welch, but I think everyone in your draft room is going to have their eyes on Christian Welch. Obviously, last year, the back end of the season was incredible. We all know, you know, when you have an ACL, it normally takes 18 months to get back to your best, and when I was talking to the physio the other day, I mean, it made me sit back and go, like, fuck, imagine if we haven't actually seen the best out of Welch yet. Like, this season could be even bigger for him.
Yeah.
And I think he's got another couple of gears to go up.
Yeah.
It pisses us off because we were big on him early, and then the hype just grew and grew and grew. And we're like, fuck, now the value is not there because everyone's going to be looking at him, you know. Originally, we're thinking round 10 is where you could probably pick him. I don't think he slips that far now just because everyone's talking about him, but I do love him. I love everything about the White Rhino. I think he can average 60 as a front rower, and I think his PPM's amazing. I think his output is fantastic. I think now that sort of Jesse Bromwich is getting older, he's taking a, sort of a back step out of that pack. I think it's time that Christian Welch steps up and takes over there as the big swinging dick of that pack.
I think the other thing with Welch that's going to be really important, of course, Big Tino has left. This is a guy that was playing 50-odd minutes a week. They're going to replace him with Tui Kamakamika, who I don't think you're going to see him for any more than 30 minutes a game. You know, I honestly think Christian Welch is going to get a bump of 5-10 minutes here, which, as we know, for front rowers, fuck, absolute gold.
What's the earliest you boys would take the White Rhino?
Not early enough to get him.
No. Yeah,
that's the problem, isn't it?
I had my draft of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen early today. Oh, I took it. No, it's not what we call it. Anyway, I took it.
That is terrible.
No, stop.
That's what it's called, isn't it?
No, it's 100% not.
Oh, God. Well, it is now.
It's some stupid name like SC 2020.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I could imagine the types you've got in there, mate. Oh, God. Yeah, no, continue.
I took him at round 12, so he slipped a fairway.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Yeah, that's great.
That was huge value. And then Laurie, the next one in 13. So, look, these guys, they're not being talked about a lot. And, there's plenty of value to be had. Especially in the big pigs, for sure.
All right, my guy, and look, it's pretty easy. Everyone knows.
You've mentioned him about 50 times.
Everyone knows. Everyone that listens to this podcast will know who I'm going to say, and it's my boy, Blake Lawrie.
Yep.
And the reason I love him is because he epitomizes what I'm looking for in a late-round front row forward. And he's also dual. So front row forward, 2RF as well, which is sexy as fuck.
Oh, he's gained 2RF, has he?
Yep.
Huge.
Because he was playing lock most of last season.
Massive.
Sexy. So, 52 average, 46 minutes. Like, I don't even care if he doesn't get any more minutes. If he can just get more than 45 minutes, he will average over 50. And the thing I love about him is his variance of consistency. It's 15%. Try and find someone that's got a better consistency than Blake Lawrie. If I pick him, and you might even get him on your bench. No one's looking at this guy, and he will get you 55 every single fucking week. You won't have to worry about it. He's literally, if I could have two Blake Lawries on my team that I picked in round 12 and 13, I'd be so happy.
Yeah, he averages 55, his ceiling is 56, and his floor is 54.
Exactly. That's what I'm looking for. Boy, Blake has got it in spades. Get him. Seriously, if anyone in the leagues that I'm involved in takes Blake Lawrie, I'm coming for you. I'm going to fucking flog you. He's my boy. I want him in every league I'm a part of. I'm telling you. Want him. Get him up here. I want to buff him.
I think the other thing to watch with Blake Lawrie is that, of course, we've seen over the last few days, Jack Bird has said that he wants to start the season at centre. So, for me, I think for the first few weeks, until we see Jack Bird move into the middle, I think that this guy, he could receive a big bump in minutes to start the season. He could be a potential really good trade bait guy as you get closer through the season. When you sense that Jack Bird's, his body might be up to it to move into the middle, I reckon this guy could be a great trade for you.
Mate, I'm telling you, he'll average 55, his pure base will be 54, and his base power will be 54.2. And that's what you're going to get out of him. It's so good. I love him. All right, Guru, so we've done hooker, front row, forward. Any guys in those positions you want to sort of add on or talk about?
Mate, Christian Welsh was going to be the one for me. Another guy that I'll mention that, we haven't really spoken about it yet, but this guy is a guy that I would have. I always carry one or two players that if there's an injury in a side, they become relevant really quickly. One that I would be looking at would be Royce Hunt from the Cronulla Sharks. I think that if they can get one or two injuries there and Royce can get a starting spot, I think he's got for feeder-like qualities. I absolutely love Royce Hunt. The other one to keep an eye on, and he's probably going to take one or two injuries, but he's always been one of my favourite Supercoach players, is Matty Eisenhuth, obviously moving to the Penrith Panthers. James Tamu's left. They're two guys that I would keep an eye on. They're probably later guys. I'm not sure if you'd call them lookers, but they're two guys that I would definitely keep an eye on. They're two of my favourites to keep in my side on a bench, and I think that these guys that you have on your bench that are relevant right now, but they're one injury away from being super relevant, they can really separate you from the crowd in your competition.
And look, you're another guy that is big on building your bench properly. And Wooker and I did a podcast just purely on bench because I think guys overlook the strategy that's involved in picking your bench. Don't just pick the next best bloke or throw whoever in there. Really put some thought behind it because it can be gold and it can pay massive dividends if it comes off. We talked about handcuffs. We talked about rotating your CTWs through your bench. We talked about, guys like Matt Eisenhuth, who's on the bench, who play well off the bench, but then you got one injury and then bang, he is a fucking gun. You've really got to think about your bench, don't you?
Oh, mate, I remember at the back end of my draft last year, we were all up to pick 17, and I had my eye on one guy, and I was just sitting there going, fuck, one of these blokes is going to take him because I've mentioned it to Natty on the podcast. I know they're going to take him. And then, mate, the five blokes before me, honestly, they picked whilst they had a drink down their throat, and they just went, oh, fuck it, I'm going to change it later, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it got to me. It was Stephen Crichton. So I got Stephen Crichton, pick 17, and everyone went, who's that? And one of the boys said, oh, I heard you talk about him on a podcast. Who is he? And, mate, that ended up being a 55-point centre winger last year. Like, that was unbelievable. Yeah. Considering I had Kikau and Mansour as well, it was an absolute gold mine.
And that's it. Like, and it happens all the time where a bloke comes up, and it, obviously it's a big waiver target, and then you go to put a waiver in for him, and you go, fuck, he's on someone's team already. How did that happen? Yep. And you ask him, and they go, I drafted him, mate. And you go, fuck, that's well done.
I think, like, Dane Laurie is another one that probably fits that mold.
Yeah.
Who's that? Walker's big on this guy. Big, massive.
I don't mind it either, just quietly. I know we spoke about it the other night, Natty. I think it's a good little punt.
And, like, for your, like, 16th, 17th pick, you got to be having a punt or two.
What happens if Dane Laurie starts in round one, Wooker? What's going on then?
Mate, I'm going to have a shoey or something. You will be doing a shoey.
You'll be recording it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll do it live. You can't just throw out shit like that on Twitter and expect.
Hey, I'm 100%. He's not going to start first round.
I reckon he is.
Yeah, you realize Adam Dwayne's out first few rounds too. I mean, that surely makes it easier for him to get a gig.
Oh, absolutely. Good call. I'm worried. Put it that way. What? There's one. He'll play one round and then he'll.
He only has to play round one for me, and that's enough just to see a shoey and be wrong.
Sure.
All right. Let's move on. Let's get into the two RFs. So this is a hard one for us because in years past, 2RF was where you made your money. This is where you tried to stack your team, right? And I don't know. I'm not really looking as hard at the 2RFs as I have been in past years. Wooker, what are you looking at here?
Oh, mate, I had a list as long as my old fella. Just on two so
short,
alone.
Short list, couple of guys then.
So I got like for Taylor Mariner, Barnett, a few other guys that I was really keen on, but for pure value, like Tarek Sims, he played no more than two consecutive games in a row last season, and I think in total he played about 10 games spread over the course of the season. So he's never really had like a proper run through the last season, and his average, I think it was like 40 something. His normal average is 50 to 55. And yeah, I think he's definite value, and you easily get him in your bench picks. So 14 to 17.
I love this call, Wooker. And it's, I rarely say this, but I think you've fucking nailed this. I love Tarek Sims as a late value play. I think if he's healthy...
And when he works with Norman, like, yes. It's just... He's the half who uses his second roles. So, yeah, I'm big on it.
Good thoughts.
Yeah, Tarek Sims, he's a guy that I haven't been huge on over the past few seasons. I actually got him a couple of years ago, and he sort of let me down. But the more I think about it, that was probably 3 or 4 years ago. I don't mind the play... I hadn't selected a guy to name in this segment, but the guy that I would be looking at is Jackson Ford. I think the other second rower in this team, I think he's going to be the one to have late for me.
Yeah, I do like Jackson Ford, and I'll be watching him really closely on the trials this weekend. He's definitely a likely type, isn't he? Loves the tough stuff, loves to run a straight line off his half, but... I don't know. I just think if Tarek Sims can stay healthy, like Wooker said, Norman loves to use his edge back rower. And that's the key to a good scoring 2RF is when your halfback loves to use your 2RF close to the line. I can see him scoring a lot more tries this year. And you could probably get him on your bench. No one's looking at Tarek Sims.
Yeah. Bit of a sidebar. Are you guys keen at all on Felice Kifusi or Kenny Brom? Both of them scored pretty poorly last season. Are we looking at them at all?
I like I probably like K-Brom a little bit more just because I'm so high on Munster. I just think that left edge is going to be fucking humming. I'm not sure that Hughes is a great half for two RFs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's definitely, like, the most of his attacking points last season were coming off kicks to Vunivalu. So, yeah, it kind of takes Fulis out of the equation.
Yeah, exactly. Guru?
These two fit into the same category as Elliot Whitehead for me. They're just three champion footballers, but, you know, we've had these guys for 15 years in Supercoach now, or 10 years or whatever. Like, what they do and how good they are just doesn't correlate to Supercoach. I mean, yep. If you pick Kenny Bromwich,
of the world.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, mate. Like, if you pick Kenny Bromwich or Felice Kaufusi, I'm not going to bag you because you know you're going to get 45 to 50, and that's fine, but... they're not guys that I would be targeting if you've got a spare spot and you get to the back end and there's not much doing. You know, you could do much worse than to have a solid back rower in a gun team, of course.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, last two RF question though. Adam Elliott. So there's talk of Josh Jackson being pushed to lock. Obviously, like, Elliott played really well at lock, scoring really well before his injury. Are we...
Jackson's a gun.
Striking a line through his name.
Elliot, yeah, but yeah. I'm starting to look at Jackson if he's playing lock. His position. He's a middle forward. Yeah. He's not an edge player.
For me, I think Elliot, I don't think he'll start the season, but I think it's a matter of time till he gets a 13 jersey back, to be honest with you. I've said the same about Josh Jackson for 4 years. He's not an edge player, but like, I think people forget just how good Adam Elliott was playing footy last year before he got injured. Like, I think he was right up there with Victor Radley, what he was doing at the start of last season. And I think the extra ball skills on Adam Elliott over Josh Jackson, I think Trent Barrett will identify how important that's going to be. And I wouldn't be surprised if Adam Elliott's a guy that you can get really late because no one wants anything to do with him, and you get some value out of him later. I'll tell you what, if Michael Leach is in your draft, you got no competition there, do you?
Christ. My guy is Joey Tappané. I think this is Joey's year. And it only cemented my opinion when I watched him in the All-Stars game. He is a damaging runner. He always has been. It feels like I've been saying this for 3 years about how big we are on Joey Tappané and how much potential he has in Supercoach, but he just hasn't been getting the minutes, and he just hasn't sort of cemented a spot in this Raiders pack. And I think this year, the 13's his, and I know that we've said that, you know, you want your upside guys, the guys that can score tries on your edge, but I feel like Joey Tappané is a guy that's going to be playing in the middle that does have upside. He's got plenty of upside with his offloading ability and tackle breaks. I mean, his PPM sitting around that one, you know, point per minute, and then you add in, you know, maybe 10 points a game with tackle breaks and offloads, and you're looking at, look, if he gets 50 minutes, you're looking at a 60 average easy. I'm banking on maybe a 65 average for Joey Tappané this year.
For me, when I look at Tappané, I mean, the Canberra Raiders, there are so many mouths to feed down there. It's ridiculous. But this is a guy with big upside. I think the big thing about Tappané is as well that you get Josh Hodgson back. And Josh Hodgson in the red zone, he is an absolute hero using his forwards. And if I was Hodgson, I would be so excited about linking up with this guy. I'm looking at his stats now. He scored 2 tries last year. I'll put a shoey on there that Josh Hodgson... He puts him over for at least 4 tries this season.
I'm not taking it there. I reckon it happens easy.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. And I mean, you know, you add another 2 tries there, that's another 2 games where a 60 turns into an 80 or a 90 game, and the potential's endless. I mean, the 2 Pelicans that got done for drink driving the other day when your fucking phone delivers a car to you in 8 minutes blows me away still. These two being out of the game, that only helps his cause as well.
Big time. And you think... Ricky's not fucking looking at Joey just going, oh, you're my boy. You're my boy. You're it. You know? After all that drama, and Sticky hates this type of fucking drama, I think you can lock him in for 55 minutes a game, which means 60 to 65 average.
And I think it also means... Yeah, sorry, go walk.
I was just about to say, I can't see a situation where he doesn't score average over 65.
Yeah, look, and this is the thing, and I just don't think he's been talked about enough. I think this is massive value here. I don't think people are getting how good this fucking kid can be. He is amazing. He shrugs blokes off like it's nothing. And these are the in games where he's just come off the bench or he's coming in lame or he's injured. You know what I mean? Like, we haven't seen him in full flight yet, and it's a scary thought.
Are we worried at all back end of the season? CHM walks back into this side. I reckon there's a big potential for him to end up on the right edge. It moves Hudson Young into the middle. At some point, I'm expecting we see Corey Horsburgh, Ryan James come into the picture. Is there any risk that we could see Joey Tappanay's minutes dropping quite a bit?
I think the only guy that's going to take minutes from him is that Hudson Young, but I still think he'll play second fiddle to Joey Tappanay. I think 55 minutes, and it's not asking the world from him. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're not saying, oh, he's going to get 60, 65 minutes at lock. 55 minutes is enough. He'll do
I think his attacking output is enough that a drop in minutes isn't going to have that much of an impact. The only thing that might scupper that is like a Hodgson injury or something like that. That being said, though, Starling played fucking awesome last season. Mm. So, look, I'm not overly concerned. But like you said before, Guru, like, there are a ton of mouths to feed in all the forward positions. So, yeah, I look, as an owner, I'd be a little bit concerned. But, mate, he's worth the risk, in my opinion.
Is the one silver lining, are we expecting Tom Starling to wear the 14? I mean, that obviously helps all of these forwards, if he is there. Are you boys expecting Tommy Starling to ride the pine?
I think so.
He's the future of the club, I reckon. So,
And you've also got Hodgson coming back from an ACL. You know, they're not going to want him to play 80 minutes. And to be honest, I don't think he wants to play 80 minutes. I think if you've got a bloke like Starling, who's like a Cook mould, who loves to play against tired defences, you know, you've got a Hodgson on there for,
coming in the last 10 minutes of 20, the
night. Exactly. 25-30 minutes, and then you put Starling on and he just fucking blitzes up the middle with tired defenders. I mean, why wouldn't you? It just makes sense.
Yeah, no,
you
I
don't
agree.
Have to be polite, mate. You just jump
just
in.
Just cut it.
No. Yeah. I completely agree with everything you're saying. I personally think Josh Hodgson, he's one of the most interesting guys to watch this year. I've spoken a bit on my podcast. I mean, until Hodgson got injured, we thought the Canberra Raiders couldn't survive without him. They've proven now they can almost win a premiership without him. So I think it's interesting. You know, I don't know Josh Hodgson, but he looks to me to be the guy that he's always liked being the centre stage at the Canberra Raiders. So I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic this year, how he handles, obviously, Tom Starling being in the side. I think it can only be positive for the Canberra Raiders, but I think it's going to be really interesting to watch.
Yeah. 100%. I think he's integral in that middle part of the field for the Raiders. He needs to be there, but I just think that addition of that explosiveness from Starling, it just needs to be there. And like you said, if he's on the bench, it just means great things for these other middle forwards.
100%.
All right, let's get into the halfbacks. So another position really lacking depth, super shallow. And to be honest, halfback 5'8 is where you want to find your value. So, Wooker, talk to me.
Now, let me finish before I say this. Like, Mitchell Moses, his 2019 average was a bit of an outlier. We've spoken about this in podcasts gone by. Like, he's not going to score your 65 or anything like that. I just don't think that's in him, the type of game that he plays. But in that season, I think he scored 20-odd try assists.
No, it's 24.
Something ridiculous like 24 that. 24 try assists. Last season, he scored 7. And he still managed an average of 54. So all he needs is like a little bit of upside in his game. Put over a few tries to Matto or something like that. Start working with Fergie a bit better. Look, I just see that there's a lot of potential to get back to that 60-odd average. Definitely not anything above that, but look, I don't see him falling too far away from it. It's not a sexy pick, but it's, yeah, I just feel like there is a lot of upside and he can't really go too much worse than he did last season as a half.
There's so much value here because everyone is shitting on Mitchell Moses. Yeah. Everyone is going, don't touch him, yuck, blah, blah, blah. But if you look into last year, right, tell me, did he look any good? Did he look any good?
No. Even when he's putting on tries, he wasn't looking that great.
But he averaged 54.
But is it because they were such a left-dominant team that he just wasn't allowed the freedom to look good?
No, but what I'm saying is he looks so fucking shit and still averaged 54.
Mm.
That's what gives me confidence with Mitchell Moses. I'm thinking he can't play any worse. I mean, 7 try assists. Do that on his fucking head. So a 60 average isn't much to ask from him. And I think there's massive value because everyone is just off him.
Yeah, he's gonna fall from that 54 average that he's at the moment. And look, you're going to be picking him up very late in the draft. Yeah, Guru, what's your thoughts?
Boys, I agree with some of what you're saying. I disagree with some, though. For me, I think Mitch Moses, he's become a more complete 7. I think that he is a guy that he's always had the highlights. He's always had these extravagant plays. And I've spoken about Mitch Moses for a long time that, you know, I remember watching him come through for Balmain when he was a teenager, and he was fucking unbelievable. Like, he was just so far ahead of everyone else, it wasn't even funny. And I think that he, you know, because he always could pull off the big play, it was always the first thing he went for. And I think over the last few years, he started to learn that, you know, highlights, they're not getting him fucking anywhere. He puts on 24 try assists, good and well. He plays the Broncos weeks one of finals. He fucking puts 50 points on those Pelicans. He faces the Melbourne Storm, a real footy side, and they look like a reserve grade team all of a sudden. I think Mitch Moses, he's developing his game. I think that he understands that Dylan Brown is an absolute fucking superstar out on his left edge, and I just think he's getting his team to the right sticks, and they're swinging it left, and that's where they were dangerous. And you mentioned his combination with Blake Ferguson. For me, the biggest problem with Mitch Moses and Blake Ferguson is the bloke in between them, Wonga Blake. Yeah. He is the most predictable footballer in the NRL. You know he's never going to pass. He's an incredible athlete, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, you can literally two-team him because you know he's never going to give the pill. It just makes the edge very predictable, and I think it's bringing Mitch Moses down.
We've talked about this.
Well, it's fucking bringing Fergo down even more.
Yeah.
What they need to start practicing is Mitch Moses' cutout ball. Get it happening, mate. Get that cutout ball just humming. Just hit Fergo on his chest and let him do the rest. Well, that rhymed.
Mate, I do agree with you guys, though. 7 try assists for the season is definitely down for Moses. It has to go up. But, mate, if he averages 58 or under 60 this year, I still wouldn't be shocked because I think he's changing the way he's playing. I think he's identified that he can either be the highlights guy or he can try and be the fucking premiership winning guy, and I know which one I'd rather be.
Yeah, look, the way I look at it is he's not going to average less than that, right?
Yeah.
Because that's his very low.
That's his floor.
54 is his floor, and I think he'll do better than that, and I think people will forget about him because it just seems like everyone's off him, and I just think he'll slip. Like, I'm talking, like, he'll probably slip. If you get him in round 7, that's ridiculous. Goal-kicking halfback for a dominant attacking team in round 7? Please.
Can I ask you boys this? With the Parramatta Eels, I look at them, and to me, they're the guy that they go to the party and they take a photo there and they tag themselves. They're always relevant. They're always thereabouts. They're never the main guy at the party. They're always just filling space. And for me, nearly every other team in the competition, except for the real cellar dwellers, they've improved. The Raiders have got better. The Titans have got better. The Roosters get Radley back. The Storm, they lose Smith. They gain Grant, who today I think is a better player than Cameron Smith right now. I mean, all these teams around them are improving. And what's Parramatta done? They've lost Michael Jennings, who was unbelievable for them last year. And I'm sorry, who have they replaced him with? Tom Opacik? I mean, I just feel like this team, they are stagnant. They've been stagnant for 3 years, and they're just not making any moves. I'm not sure how much better a Clint Gutherson can get, to be honest with you. I think he is effort built on effort built on effort, but I'm not sure if we're going to get much more out of him. I think Dylan Brown is another 2 or 3 years away from being the superstar we all know he's going to be. I'm not sure where this side is going.
No, and look, and that's probably right when you're looking at the team in real-life football. But if you look at it in Supercoach terms, This side has been a top Supercoach scoring team for the last 3 years. Not only have they been the top attacking team, like scoring Supercoach points, but they've also had the most top 100 players. So top five carrying the top 100 players scoring Supercoach points as well. So I don't disagree with you at all, Guru. I think you're bang on. They haven't made any big moves with getting blokes in, and they seem to be running with the same sort of strategy in their team. And that, you know, they're going to be thereabouts. They're going to be there when the whips are cracking, but they're not going to be a premiership winning side. But I still think there's going to be plenty of fucking Supercoach points there to be had.
To me, they look like the sort of team that at some point, if they were to lose three or four in a row, they could just look around and go, fuck me, there's been the same blokes here the last 4 years. We've achieved nothing. We think we're relevant, we're not. I could just see, you know, they used to have these seasons where they go unbelievable, then they would fall off the radar all of a sudden. I wouldn't be shocked if this side did fall off the radar this year, to be honest with you.
And you know what? This might be the year that's the decision-making process. Like, if they go fuck all this year, they might be like, right, it's time to make some personnel changes because we've had the same blokes. It hasn't worked. It's time to move on. There's probably going to be a lot of pressure on, you know, the top office to make some decisions if they're not playing well. So it's definitely one to watch. I totally agree with you. Like, they're a stagnant team, and I don't have them in the top four.
I've got them missing the top eight, to be honest.
Wow.
You know what's always good for Parramatta? When the top office makes decisions too.
Yeah.
Always goes to shit.
The boys club.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. I've just got a bad vibe around this team. I think they're going to miss Michael Jennings so much. I mean, the games that he played against the top sides last year, that game he played against the Roosters last year, I think they only just beat the Chooks that night, the night that Mike Acevo essentially murdered James Tedesco. But, yeah, mate, Jenko was on fire that night. They were in all sorts without him. I think they're going to miss him massively.
I was surprised that he pulled out a career year, and then after the news came out, I wasn't as surprised.
Yeah, no, fair shout, but I think he's going to be a massive miss for them.
All right, shut the fuck up because I need to talk about my guy. So we're halfback, Chanel Harris-Tavita. Now, before I start, are you both big on him?
Go walk.
Pick for sure.
Yeah? Value, Guru?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of him. The only thing I do worry about is I just never like Nathan Brown. It just always worries me. I think we spoke about this the other night, and I mean, to be away from New Zealand, away from family, and to have a guy like Todd Payton, he's a good time. He's a player's coach. He's a fun time. I think it was good for that squad. Fuck me, bringing Nathan Brown into it, that place could be like a funeral. I'm a little bit worried.
And this is what I said to you on your podcast as well. I think the fact that RTS is leaving sort of overshadows Nathan Brown coming. You know, I really think he takes a back step and makes it more about RTS and what this season means to him. But as far as Harris-Tavita goes, you've got to look at that back end of the season where he took over that number seven and Green moved on to the Knights. He just absolutely killed it, whether that's because they said to him, you've got the seven now, don't worry, you're not going to have to, you know, worry about coming off the bench or getting pulled off or whatever, pulled off, hello. but you know what I mean? Like, that's just in his head, he's like, right, I can focus on my game, I can do what I do best, and that's break tackles and put tries on, and that's exactly what he did. He had a fantastic four or five rounds there in late 2020. So I don't expect him to do that. I definitely can see him averaging around that 55 mark. He's a dual eligible halfback 5'8", and as Walker and I always talk about, this is the most valuable
and a goal kicker.
It just doesn't get any better than that. And in the same vein as Christian Welch, it's a bit fucked because everyone's talking about him, everyone loves him, and he probably won't present as much value as I'm talking about now because guys will start looking at him earlier than he probably should go, and someone's going to reach for him in your draft. But I think he's in for a really good year, and I think we see the real Chanel Harris-Tavita this year, and he is a fucking superstar.
I think also, obviously, dual position, we all know that's absolute gold in Supercoach draft, halfback 5'8". I think the other thing as well, his last five games, he plays the Tigers, Cronulla, Canterbury, Brisbane, and the Titans in that run. I mean, it could get worse, couldn't it?
Putting on scores.
Hello. Sexy. That's even better.
I picked him up, pick 169 in the draft.
But stop, stop.
You could have got him 1,069 in that fucking thing.
Stop, stop talking about this fucking league that you draft with six-year-olds. Seriously, it means nothing. Don't take any of this shit that Walker's talking about. He just drafted with a bunch of robots. No one knows what the fuck they're doing in that league. You've got a dead set gun. You're taking candy from a baby. I can't believe you're doing it to these guys. You're just stealing their money, mate.
You got to make some money somehow.
Oh, well.
Hey, what was the best value guy you got in that comp, just out of interest?
He's got like six out of the top 10 blokes in his team. It's unbelievable.
I got Munster in the second round.
Fucking joke. Munster in the second round. That's enough.
No. But because it was a keeper league, he didn't get picked.
This is a joke. This is a fucking joke. Let's move on. That's not a real league, Walker. It's not a real. It doesn't count. It doesn't count. That league, I've told you before, that league doesn't fucking count.
Oh, Friday.
All right, let's get into 5'8". Walker?
Oh, sorry, mate. I was grabbing another beer. Connor Watson. So we spoke a little bit about him just before the pod. And look, I'm still big on him. I think he can definitely do a job at lock. It's going to be interesting to see what happens and what moves happen when Lachlan Fitzgibbon comes back from injury, to see whether that is a bit of a shake-up to the back row. But look, if he establishes himself, stays fit, I'm pretty big on him.
What's the sort of minutes we're talking about here, boys? Because, that's a lovely sound. Are we looking at like a 55, 60 minutes, or like are we looking more than that? It's hard to gauge Connor Watson. I know everyone's just fucking pulling their put over Connor Watson playing lock, but I'm not as sold on it. I know it's a massive playing classic, but as in draft world, I know what to expect from him. He's really explosive. Mm. And that also worries me about his Achilles injury, because if you're an explosive player and you've got an Achilles injury, Brian did tell us that, fuck, that's a big worry. And Connor Watson is
reduced performance as well.
Exactly. And Connor Watson is his biggest fade. So it just worries me. He's not going to be playing big minutes straight off the bat. They're just not going to do that to him. And it just worries me. Are we going to see the Connor Watson of old, where he's just darting out of space and he's just everywhere? You know, he's that sort of Gutho type of player where he's just fucking everywhere. You just go, where did he come from? He teleported from the other side of the field here to be here in this scoring opportunity. I don't know.
I think his role is going to be a little bit different to when he was filling in at dummy half. So he's not going to be that darting player. He's going to be more of that ball playing lock. So I feel like he can play big-ish minutes, maybe nowhere above like 50 to 55. But look, he's got a mass highlights reel, and the stuff he can do on the field is just unbelievable. A lot of those things, he probably won't be able to perform with his Achilles comeback.
Well, talking about ball playing locks, now I think we've just given Guru a massive hard one, because he loves talking about ball playing locks. Hit us with Guru.
Future of the game, isn't it?
Mate, it's been the future of the game for quite some time. No one wanted to listen to me, but it's here now.
You've ever said, Walker.
Mate, all the experts, they're onto it now. Don't worry about it. Now, this is a guy, once again, like about eight other guys, I've been saying for ages he has to play lock. And this year, I think you're going to see two Connor Watsons. I think you're going to see pre-origin Connor Watson and post-origin. I think they'll be two completely different players. I think he's going to lack minutes for the start of the season. I think at the back end, if he stays injury-free, I think Connor Watson's going to be a guy that you're going to want in your side personally. Obviously, 5'8 slash hooker, I mean, that's massive. To be playing just a roaming role, and I think he will play that sort of link man role. But the thing I love about Connor Watson when it comes to Supercoach, he is a fucking hog. He is run first, run second sort of footballer, which I absolutely love in Supercoach. The only thing that worries me about Watson is that you've got Mitchell Pearce at seven. You've got to find a spot for Blake Green. Apparently, he's going to be the captain, so I'm assuming he'll play six. You've got Kurt Mann coming off a career-high year. Where does he play? You got Tex Hoy, who can play a multiple, a heap of positions. Where's he going to play? I just worry that they've got too many guys that are good at a lot of things, not great at anything, that are versatile, that potentially it could mess up Connor Watson a little bit. I mean, it could mess up Brayley as well. I just think there's a lot of mouths to feed of, you know, very versatile dudes that we don't really know what position they are. They're just footballers. That's the only worry I have with Watson. But I think at the back end, he is going to be a guy that you want.
Anywhere between like rounds 7 to 10, to be honest, for where I see his value. Eight might be a bit early, but yeah, eight to 10.
So we're talking picks 70 to 80?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I think this is a guy that no matter where you draft him, he's going to raise eyebrows, and we're not going to know whether it's a good pick or not until the end of the season, realistically.
100%. You pick him and it works out, you're a fucking genius. You're going to look so good.
Yeah.
And this, and you've got to make punts. And we always talk about this. Wilker and I always touch on this. If you play it safe, you'll never win a championship. It's as simple as that. Because everyone's thinking safe. You've got to go above and beyond. You've got to start thinking outside the box. You've got to start thinking about guys that really present value, guys that you're big on. And this is what we always say is, if you believe in a guy, you go for him. Reach for him. Get him. If you really believe in that guy, if you're big on Connor Watson, reach for him. Get him. Don't fucking worry.
Tell you what, I'm glad the ball-playing lock chat is over, because my pants were chafing for a second there. That was full on.
As soon as Wooker said ball-playing lock,
yeah. Pitching a tent over here.
I actually heard your heart on. I heard it. It was audible.
You got some good hearing, brother.
Oh, good. All right, my guy for 5'8", and another thing that pisses me off, right? I was so big on Scott Drinkwater before he started playing fullback, right? Now he's playing fullback. Everyone's all over him, but still love him. And I think he's a guy that you can reach for. And in the same vein as Mitch Moses, last year he averaged 55. The Cowboys did absolutely nothing in attack, and Scott Drinkwater caught maybe 70% of the balls that were fucking passed to him.
Not even, mate. Not even.
Like, he dropped a lot of fucking balls.
In attack and territory, too.
He can't play any worse. He can't play any worse. And Guru, you and I talked about this the other day, and it's he's a ball runner, but he also has those silky, smooth skills with the ball. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you take the pressure off him, you put him in the fullback, he can pop up both sides of the field. I think you're going to see something special out of Scott Drinkwater. I don't even know what he's going to average. That's how big I am. I think Scott Drinkwater could be the number one value play in draft this year if it all goes right.
I think the thing with Scott Drinkwater people forget is that, I mean, he was the fullback over Ryan Pappenhausen. It was only an injury that gave Pappy a sniff that, yeah, you know, ended up seeing Scott Drinkwater leave. I've been saying it for ages. I think Drinkwater's the best fullback at the Cowboys. I think Val Holmes is the best winger at the club. I mean, it just makes sense. You got to pick teams that are going to win games, not that are going to, you know, make a paycheck worthwhile. This just makes sense to me. And I think Michael Morgan's going to be massive as well. This side, they've been lacking someone to direct them around the park for a long time. And the thing that excites me about him at fullback is that he'll be getting two ball with just an extra 3 meters of space to think and to look up and play eyes up. And I just think it's going to make a massive difference for him. You know, you're going to have the hammer at center. You're going to have, I assume Isan Masters will probably get back into this side at some point this year. I think they're just going to have a lot more strike. I'll eat my fucking hat if I have to watch Justin O'Neill play another game of first grade at the Cowboys. Is that doing anyone else's head in or what?
Oh, now Wooker loves him.
Back in the day, he was all right. His day was passed about like 5 years ago.
Mate, I'd look good in a fucking Melbourne back line.
Mate, I don't know how many times I don't know how many times Wooko told me to get Justin O'Neill in the Draft Legends League off the waivers. He was like, get him. I pick him up. I go, is 22 points good, Wooko? Is that what we're looking for here in the fucking back line? Is 22 points what we're looking for? Jesus
Christ. Mate, if I was short in Oztag and I looked over and Justin O'Neill was sitting there, I'd play short. I cannot stand the way he handles himself at the moment. It's a fucking nightmare.
So, boys, when I'm talking about what I just said before about believing in a guy, Scott Drinkwater's my boy, and I will reach for Drinkwater in draft. I think he's going to blow up this season. And look, it's a punt. I could be wrong. And if I am, you just go, fuck, it was worth the punt. But I'm going to reach for him in draft leagues this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fair play.
Yeah, mate, I think he's got just endless potential, Drinky. I think he could be anything. You're right. He could be the value pick of the draft without a doubt. I've got big tickets on Drinky.
Whew. And see, this is the problem now. People listen to this draft podcast and then fucking he doesn't become the value play.
Yep.
Actually, fucking cancel everything I just said. He's shit. Don't touch him, especially if you're in a league that I'm in. Don't worry about him. He's probably going to average 30.
Before we move on, Nutty, can I ask you where, if he's fullback for round one or if he's 5'8", where's the difference of where you draft him?
I'm definitely more on him at fullback.
How many rounds is it worth?
But I'm still going to draft him. Regardless, I'm still drafting him as my 5'8".
Yeah, okay.
So regardless of where he's playing, I'll still draft him at my 5'8".
I think there's better options in that range at fullback. Yep. But yeah, if I was getting him, he'd be going into 5'8" for sure.
If
he's playing fullback, I'm looking at him around 5.
I'll tell you the one counter argument I would put in here, and I love Todd Payton, but my God, did he not just minimize everything that Roger Tuivasa-Sheck was doing last year? I mean, it's like the Warriors were playing a sort of different brand where it was like Roger just wasn't part of their game plan. It was a bit strange. That's the only thing that worries me here.
Yeah, that is a worry, man. I didn't even think of that. Well, that's something to think about, but surely the move to put Drinkwater at fullback means something.
I think it's a step in the right direction for the team. So, yeah. So long as they play with a little bit of structure, Morgan stays fresh and uninjured.
They've got to play better than last year.
So they had no attack last year.
I'll tell you what, it's going to hurt if you do take Drinky pretty early that you're talking about and Michael Morgan goes down again. I mean, that's going to sting. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the same sort of thing that we were talking about, Natty, with the turbo effect on DC and Gerbo.
Yeah.
It's a similar sort of thing with Morgan. So I don't see Morgan lighting up anything this season, but just him being there takes a lot of pressure off the other guys in that spine.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. If he stays healthy, he's obviously going to be the older head in the side. He's going to be steering the ship, and it is going to take the responsibility off these younger guys, and they're just going to be able to do what they do best, which is play eyes-up footy.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, let's get into the CTWs. I can't believe, fuck, mate, this podcast is going to go a fair way because we're in the hour mark now. So settle up, boys.
I start working a couple of hours just quietly.
mate, you're not going anywhere. So, Wooka, talk to me. CTWs.
Well, you stole my one, but look, I've gone a bit rogue on it and gone Jesse Ramien. I was pretty big on him last season, especially since he's moved back to the Sharks where he had his breakout season. Look, I don't think he's going to do massive things, but I definitely think he can build on his average from last season. He looked good in parts in the in the All-Stars game. And look, I know he's got a lot of potential, and I think he just needs a few things to go right, them to start attacking that that right edge that he's on. Is it right edge or left?
Right edge.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So the thing with Jesse Raymond is, obviously, he's got so much upper body violence, right? So he loves to break a tackle. I thought
he loves when he moved,
yeah, he does. And when he went to Knights, I felt like he dropped off from that. He just wasn't involved enough. And I'd like to see that again from coming back to the Sharks, where he just takes those hit ups. And every time he takes a hit up, there's one bloke that fucking falls off first up. And the other thing is, you're going to get him at value. And then when SJ comes back, and just say that SJ comes in, he's feeling healthy, he's looking good, and he starts getting that right edge humming again, and the Sharks run in the Supercoach Finals superb, you could be looking at a guy that just goes on and averages 75 for the Supercoach Finals. So I love him.
Yeah. And the whole point is, no one's really looking at that edge with SJ out.
Mm.
And I think he's definitely a guy that's going to slip well into the draft, because he's CTW as well, so no one's going to look at him for early picks. When I say early, I mean like the mid ranges from 8 to like 11 or 12. So yeah, I definitely think he's one of those picks that you could get probably your third or fourth CTW, and yeah, he's definitely going to do a job, and like the upside's pretty heavy on him.
Guru, talk to me.
You know what I'm going to say, mate. Everyone's talking when Sean Johnson returns.
Who's giving him the ball? Who's there now? Talk to me, son.
Mate, as much as you want to bag him, and I'll wear it every week, that's fine. I think Moises is going to be fantastic for him on that edge. Moylan.
I think he's going to have a fantastic two games before he gets injured again.
can we change the record over here? What's going on, you two? It's the same fucking jokes. You're like my old man.
Don't let him get away with that.
Who's going to pull my finger next?
Yeah, don't let him get away with that. You can't let him be the funny one. Come on, Guru, get him. Sick and funny.
No, boys, I genuinely think, though, I think Moylan, I'm very nervous for when Sean Johnson returns and he has to move to fullback. I'm not confident in those legs. Playing 5'8", though, I am reasonably confident with him. The thing that I like about that right edge, and for me, until the Indigenous Maori All-Stars game, I was convinced that Sifa Talakai would start on that edge. I don't know about you guys, but I thought Nakora played the best footy I've seen him play in 18 months in that game. He looked really strong to me.
Big time. He did look really good. And I was with you thinking that, look, Talakai, it's his spot when he comes back. Now I'm not so sure. So because, you know, Talakai can be like a nice value play on your bench or something like that, but does he even get the spot? Now, it's a hard one. Before I saw that All-Stars game, I was so confident that Talakai was going to be that right edge 2RF when he comes back from injury. Now I don't know.
It's a hard draft because, like, you're looking at Nakora and Talakai, like, you almost can't touch either.
Mate, yeah. I think also, like, I'll come back to Moylan again. I actually think he's more suited to Jesse Raymond. Sean Johnson, he's a fast edge player. He's a guy. He's got that. He's still got that sort of touch football about him where, you know, if the option's on for him, he will always go long. He will throw that bullet ball. Mm-hmm. Moylan, he's more of a soft hands guy, and I think Jesse Ramian, he's the sort of center that he just needs someone to come along that knows how to use him. You need to use him short. You need to put him on the inside shoulder of his defender. And I think Moylan is the guy to be able to do that. I think that Moylan's more suited to Ramian than what Sean Johnson is. I just think Ramian, mate, he's just got endless potential. I tipped him last year to be the Dally M center. I thought he was going to explode down there at Cronulla, and just didn't quite live up to it. There was a couple of years ago, his first year at Cronulla, do you remember they used to do that play all the time? The dummy half would stand up, the back rower would come under him, he'd show it, then he'd pop it to Ramian over his left shoulder, and he would just cruise over the markers. I mean, they need to bring him into the game. He's not a guy that's going to bring himself into it. You need to bring him into it, and this is where I think Moylan, with his soft hands and his shorter balls, I think it really could be anything for Ramian.
Can we move on from Matt Moylan yet?
Mate, I've got plenty more if you want. I can tell you plenty.
That'll do. No, and look, the one thing I do agree with you is that Matt Moylan at 5'8 is definitely better for his game than playing fullback.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Because if he moves back,
get off my dick, would you? Fucking hell!
That hammy will fucking gone.
Yeah, our fullback, it's just not a threat.
Boys, haven't you heard? He's been running with Roger Fabry. He's flying.
Oh, mate, the house is down. It's not standing anymore. He's just trained the fucking thing all the way to the rubble.
He doesn't need to work with Fabry. He needs to work with that hamstring whisperer.
What?
There's a guy, physio or something, that's called the hamstring whisperer. Someone was working with him end of last season. I think it was Turbo, actually.
Yeah, well, how's that fucking gone for him?
Yeah, exactly. But hey, it wasn't the same one that done.
We shouldn't be.
Is that a win? I'm sorry. What fucking? I think that's worse.
All right, next bloke up, Brian Kelly.
I'm all over this.
If anyone's not all over this guy, they're kidding themselves.
This bloke is. So you look at the elite CTWs this year. This guy presents, because he's an elite CTW. This guy presents the most value because you're looking at an average from 56, which means on pre-draft list he sits way the fuck down, right? And unless you've done your study and you looked at him and you've put him up there, you might miss him. And blokes in your league will miss him. I think you have this guy in a team that's obviously going to be better in attack. They're going to have more space in the middle. They're going to give him more early ball. I mean, if you just look at the games he played from round 12 to round 16, he put on 71, 92, 105, 78. Yes, there's some 30s in his game, but also we're talking about the Titans of old as well. Like, I just think this guy could average 65. If they use him correctly and they start humming like everyone thinks they can, I don't know, man. Brian Kelly just gets me hard.
Look, he ticks all of the boxes that you want in a CTW. He doesn't have that horrible floor. He has a massive attacking upside. He's an attacking center. And my God, he's so good to watch. Just like from a real NRL perspective, like just always lights it up. Huge on him. Even when he was back at it was Manly. Like, yeah, big on him.
He's got a base power of 42. I mean, that's elite. That is elite. Nofo's got 46, so he's not far off him.
Yeah.
Guru?
Oh, mate, I absolutely love Brian Kelly. I often think that if he was in a Melbourne Storm or a Sydney Roosters system, I honestly think he'd be knocking on the door of State of Origin. I think he's one of the most underappreciated players in our game. And I think as the Titans become more and more relevant, I think this kid, he could be absolutely anything. A Ballina local, he is just... I still can't believe Manly have let this guy go. It shocks me. To me, I've never watched this kid and not thought, fuck, how good is this guy? I can't believe he's bounced around this much.
Especially when you look at their centre stocks, like Manly at the moment. Like, he's streets above those guys.
And, mate, he was doing the same thing then as he's doing now. Nothing's changed. I mean, he's always been this guy.
I feel like in the last sort of couple of years as well with the Titans, they've really lent on him in attack. He's really been their only strike weapon. And I think if the responsibility and the pressure sort of spread across some more blokes like, you know, Fogarty, Taylor, Brimson, I think you can see the best out of Brian Kelly. I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. I think he can go to another level.
The only worry with that is, like, he sees less of the ball. But, yeah, I think there's if there's less attention from a defensive point of view, it only works in his favour.
Big time, 100%. All right, let's get into fullback. Walker, talk to me.
So my guy, he's in a similar sort of mould as Moylan, actually, a bit injury prone. Dylan Edwards. So he's strung together a few games last season.
We're all big on this guy, bro.
And look, he's shown potential every time he's had a decent run of games together. We all know he's awesome. Averaged 69 last season out of 11 games. Scored below 50 once. And look, scored over 60, 73% of the time. Like, he's just tick, tick, tick. You want to be part of that awesome attacking outfit with the Panthers. And look, he's in everything. And he's got massive stats. Like, there was one game last season, we mentioned it in the last podcast, 30 hit-ups.
Oof.
30 hit-ups.
Right. It's That's fucking outrageous. Ridiculous. That is look, arousing.
He's a try scorer as well. Like, there's the only thing he doesn't do is goal kick, to be honest. But he's a huge, huge player. I love watching him play, and owning him is just a step above. So yeah, I'm big on him.
The thing I love about Dylan Edwards, right, is because I love him in real life. I think he's my favourite fullback in the game in real life. I think the positional play that he does is second to none. I've never seen him let a ball hit the grass. Like, I don't know how he does it, but he always catches a ball on the full, and he's deceptively strong. So I just love to watch him play. I love having him in my Supercoach side. I've had him in and out of my side the last couple of years. And if he can just string 20 games together, a full season, I don't know what he can do. Like, and also in a team that's so fucking dominant in attack, yeah, I love him, man. I really do. Guru?
Yeah, boys, I always remember his debut. I remember 24-year-old Matt Moylan, captain of the Penrith Panthers. They needed a six. He said, I'll play six. Hey, kid, you can have a go in the number one jersey. And Dylan Edwards, he hasn't looked back since. He's been incredible. I think he's... I know I've said it a few times, but he has to be right up there with the most underrated guys in the comp. I was on the NRL roast this afternoon doing a Q&A on the Panthers, and, mate, the amount of questions I got about moving Stephen Crichton to fullback, moving Tyrone May to fullback, moving fucking everyone to fullback, I could not believe it. I mean, are people watching this guy play or what?
He's so good. He's so good. Like... to be honest, I just want to talk about him in real life because a little bit of it translates to Supercoach, but really, he is fantastic. Have you ever seen him miss a tackle either?
No, he's strong in defence. And like you were saying before, with that, he's deceptively strong. Like, he can get those one-on-one tackles and he's not letting guys get through.
No, I love him. I really love him. He gets me going, tickles my taint, I'm on him.
And I think the thing to remember from last year as well is that, I mean, he missed a lot of the preseason with his injury. He came back for 5 or 6 weeks. He missed another 4 weeks. Then he returned. I mean, it was a stop-start season. And for me, there's never been a worse season to miss a preseason than last year because we got to round three and, fuck me, it was a new game all of a sudden. It was faster than ever. So, yeah, to do what he did last year was incredible.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's not much more we can say about him. He's one of those top 10 guys, those elite fullbacks that you need to get. And we always talk about round three, so pick 20 to 30 being the fullback round, and I see him going there along with a lot of other fullbacks. So if you want him, you're going to have to get him then.
Yeah, I could even see him slipping into the back end of the teens, to be fair.
Yeah, well and truly.
Yeah, could happen, boys, could happen. My guy... King Gutho, and I've spoken to you both about him at nauseam. I'm big on him. I love him at the start of the season. I think he's great trade bait. I've said it a million times before, but he's averaged 75 in the first 8 rounds over the last 2 years. He's one of those really fit types. He loves preseason. He comes into the round one super fit, and some guys that maybe come into round one not as fit, especially the guys in the middle, he makes them pay. And I feel like that's where he gets a lot of his points early on in the season. So when you compare him to guys like Pappenhausen from last year, which they have similar averages, but it's Gutho's start to the season versus Pappenhausen's end to the season. So drafting Gutho, I really think you're drafting him to obviously get some wins on the board. He's going to score points, but also to try and trade him come round six, round seven, for maybe someone like Latrell Mitchell or a guy like Pappenhausen or someone who starts the year slow. But I just think he is going to start this year fucking humming.
I think it's interesting for him to kick off this season. I mean, game one, I'm expecting him to score a ton. He plays the Brisbane Broncos, their first game without Fifita, Hask, or Tony Staggs. I mean, I think that side's still going to be in a little bit of all sorts. I'm not liking what I'm seeing out of there the more and more I watch them. Gutho, for me, unbelievable footballer, great Supercoach player. As I've said before, it's just effort built on effort built on effort. And, you know, that's fantastic for Supercoach. Obviously, He's not a guy that, to be honest with you, I don't rely on him in the big moments to deliver. Maybe I'm a harsh critic on him. I cop shit left, right, and center for being harsh on him. So maybe I am. I know he's a really popular guy, but yeah, he's not in my top five fullbacks anyway.
No. I'm not big on him season long, but I just think you can trade him high. I think he will be the best trade high value of 2021.
I find that interesting. I mean, yeah, he's got a good run. I mean, in the first 6 weeks, he plays Cronulla, Tigers, Dragons, Brisbane. He also plays Melbourne and the Raiders. He plays at Brisbane again in round 7. Yeah, I guess it's a fair shout. Mate, to be honest with you, in my comp, no one fucking trades. It's unbelievable. Yeah. No one wants to give an inch, and especially with me, no one even replies to my fucking text. It's unreal. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, in some leagues it is. And our leagues, it's hard. That's why I had to make mandatory bet rounds, because no one would trade and it was just boring. But for guys that are listening that do have guys that love to trade, I think that's a perfect go with King Gutho. Now, boys, that's massive. We've just talked about two guys per position and we've gone for well over an hour. So, Guru, is there any guys that we missed that you want to talk about?
Mate, I've had a quick look through the run sheet. The guys that I'll mention later are the guys that I'll talk about, to be honest with you. I think we've covered a lot here. There's a lot of those guys that I really like. There weren't too many of them that I would overly push back on, to be honest with you.
Fair shout. Well, that's the lookers, guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.